Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane, and three times a month we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's featured guests are authors and media personalities, Cotton, the soft-spoken poet, and Tavanna Elliott Clark. Cotton, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
So we'll go ahead and get started. You are quite the accomplished author. How many books have you written?
I just released like my 12th book.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I actually released 3 books at one time.
Oh, okay.
Which is something I've never done before, and I usually don't advise that. But for different circumstances
okay.
around it, but
uh-huh.
and 3 books and a CD all on the same day.
Oh, really? You want to talk about that project
yeah.
or no? Okay, go right ahead.
I'm sure. Sure. The first book that I released is The Greatest Love. I decided years ago that I wanted to write a poem, the greatest. You know, talking about the greatest love. Well, it's very
mm-hmm.
difficult to talk about the greatest love when there's so many different forms of the greatest love. Like you have the greatest love of your mom, the greatest love of your
mm-hmm.
children, the greatest love
mm-hmm.
of your spouse or companion, and then the greatest love of God. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote about all of those. So there's like 3 or 4 greatest love poems in the book,
oh.
but they're talking about
okay.
different forms of that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
And
so,
then the other book is,
No, go ahead. I was going to ask about the next one. Go ahead.
The next book was God is Calling. So I wanted to
okay.
also do something that was inspiring as well, which is God is Calling is basically me kind of talking about how many times God called them, and it's poetry still. They're both poems. But I'm talking about how God has called upon each of us, and sometimes we don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that in poetry form. And then the last book, which I started working on in 2014, after I wrote 10 Reasons Why Black Men Stop Dating Black Women, the ladies were like, well, you're going to do something for us ladies. And I said, oh. Sure. So I started writing it, but I didn't release it. And
okay.
I said, oh, wow, I forgot. I got this book sitting here, so I might as well just go ahead and release it all at once. And it's actually titled 10 Reasons Why Black Women Lose Respect for Black Men.
Okay. So that was the third book that you released on that day then, right?
Yeah, that was the third
mm-hmm.
book, yes. And then,
okay.
and then the CD is titled He Loves Me.
Hmm.
And
nice.
it just talks about how he loves me and how I love him. And there's like
mm-hmm.
8 tracks on there that
oh.
I use. I used other people's music, unfortunately, like
mm-hmm.
Alicia Keys, Anita Baker,
okay.
who's one of my favorites, Jill
mm-hmm.
Scott, Janet Jackson.
Oh.
And these are all some of my favorites. So I use their instrumentals to create
uh-huh.
the album.
Okay. And so when did 4 of these projects release? What date? Was that this year or was it last year? When was it?
That was just this year, January 3rd, on my birthday.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it was fun to do the books at the same time. I had even more fun releasing them. So now it's just time to push, and get some book signings done and set up some other events outside of what I already have going on.
So this is quite an interesting thing. So you were talking about releasing 4 projects on one day, you know, and marketing is such an interesting component for the author, you know, and because most of us just write and don't usually have a marketing kind of background. So, you know, are you finding that it's difficult to know when and how to push the book since they're all kind of different, you know, and could potentially be different, you know, different markets, you know, all of that. How was that going?
actually, it's funny because in my world, I have people who are very spiritual beings, and then I have people who enjoy just the love aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm finding is because I have so many different people in so many different areas of my life, everybody isn't so spiritual. Most people aren't that into God. So they just want to hear the other stuff, you know.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So okay. I thought it would be difficult, but it actually, because I'm still talking about love and everything, it kind of, you know, everybody can relate to love no matter what, whether it's broken heart or not. You know, everybody can relate to it. So it all kind of just falls under what you're feeling at that time. So kind of what you're feeling at that time. If you're feeling like you want to be inspired, you know, you're going to want God is calling. If you just want somebody to talk about the love and what that feels like, you know, you have the greatest love. And then if you're on the other side of it to where, you know how, you know, us women where we, if there are times when we bond together, it's like, yeah, that's the reason why I would lose respect for him, because he doesn't take care of his kids, you know, because he's a cheater, you know. So a lot of us can relate to that. So it actually turned out to be a lot easier than I thought.
Okay. So why don't you tell us where your writing journey began? Have you been writing your whole life, or did you start, you know, was it some experience that you had that just kind of, you know, became the catalyst for the gift, or, you know, what? Tell us about your journey.
I'll tell you, actually, as a young girl, I was very quiet, very timid. I didn't talk a lot. I did a lot of listening. And because I was such a quiet kid, I could sit in a room with adults and not get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, but then years later, when I wanted to be heard, people still weren't listening, and that's how I felt. So I started writing down how I felt. I was watching Oprah one day, and she said, write down how you feel and tear it up, throw it out into the universe, and then that way you get it off your chest. But then I started writing and found that my writing in the church, while I was in the church, it turned into poetry. And so I would get up and write, and that was back in, like, 2001, 2002 when I started doing that. And so it just continued from there, and I just kept writing. But at that time, I didn't know what to do with it. The church really wasn't as open to it and as accepting to it as you know, I would have liked. But I didn't stop writing. I continued to write, and then one day Facebook came about, and somebody said, hey, are you going to write a book? And I was like, well, I didn't think about writing a book. I didn't want to do that. I was just sharing my work.
Okay.
And so I finally wrote the book, thanks to Red Snapper, got it self-published. And from there, I went to a poetry event, and because I wanted to see what it was like. And Gary Moore said, hey, you have a book. Get on stage. I was like, wait, that's not what I came here for. I just wanted to see what's going on. He says, no, you can get on stage. And so I read from the book, unfortunately, because at that time I hadn't memorized anything because I wasn't planning on performing. That's kind of how that all started.
Okay. So I love the title of your work, Strong in My Woman. How was that title significant for you? And tell us about that book.
Oh, my goodness. When I wrote that book, I was, and I've been single since 2004. So when I wrote that book, I was going through the hurt and everything of the divorce, I mean, of the relationship of the marriage being over. And so I wanted to, but at the same time, me being a mom, single mom, I had to know my strength, and I had to know that I had to be strong for my children. And so that's kind of how that all came about, is me wanting to talk about the strength of me being a woman in the world that I'm in.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, is it poetry?
Yes, it's all poetry.
Okay.
I actually have only two books that are not poetry, and that's the 10 Reasons book.
Okay.
There's another book that actually hasn't been released titled Monster Behind Closed Doors that has still have not released that book yet.
Okay. All right. So since you bring up the 10 Reasons, I was going to talk about that next, so that's a perfect intro into that. So I would imagine that those books have brought interesting feedback from your readers. So why don't you tell us about 10 Reasons Why Black Men Stop Dating Black Women and 10 Reasons Why Black Women Lose Respect for Black Men. Tell us about those two books.
When I wrote 10 Reasons Why Black Men Stop Dating, it's interesting how some of the books come about, because this book, I was getting, for whatever reason, I was constantly getting my male friends and people that know that I write, I would always get these, why are black women like this and why are black women like that? And, you know, and they were having these issues with their mates. Keep in mind that when I wrote that book and the people that I interviewed, they're all married to or dating black women. None of them are with women that are of another race. And so I posed the question, so what would stop you from dating a black woman? What would be the reason that would keep you from dating black women? So that was how, that's how all the ten reasons came up. And you know, a lot of women, and I hate to say this about us, but we are the most judgmental creatures ever. So before a lot of them could even read what the content inside the book was, they were like, "Oh, you're just trying to take responsibility away from black men." No, actually, that's not what the book is about. The book is for you to understand that black men have reasons why they feel the way that they do. You can't dismiss, just because you don't like it, you can't dismiss that they feel this way. Some men actually just date outside of their race because they fell in love with the woman. You know, race isn't necessarily a factor, but sometimes our actions, they push them. Like my brothers, you know, they're not with black women. You know, my son doesn't date black women. And I put in there, you know, initially for me, and before I even talked to any of the guys, and I didn't interview my brothers. I didn't even ask them their opinion.
Okay.
Because, you know, I know some of their backstory already. So I know that one of my brothers was very hurt by a black woman that he really loved, so much to the point to where the guy that she was cheating on him with pulled a gun out on him.
Oh, my.
And
so
he kind of just was like, oh, I'm done with black women. You know, and I thought, like I said, I know some of their backstory already, but, you know, initially for me being a black woman, I looked at some men that date outside of their race as being weak. And that was just my perspective on it at the time. And until I started talking to more men, it's like, oh, so these are some of the other reasons. It's not just that, you know, and I understand that because I'm a black woman. I deal with a lot of black women. And, yeah, we are a pain at times. I understand that. But it's not just women. It's women, period. So it's not the race.
It's an interesting, you know, this is such an interesting topic, and we could go on and on with this. And, you know, it's so interesting to me because when you bring up, when anyone, you know, either sex brings up issues of what it is that they feel like they're missing or need from the other, the immediate response is not to listen. It's to go into defense mode. I had posted something the other day, and it was I see a lot of men posting things, you know, I only want this, I only want that, she needs to look like this, and, you know, and all this whole criteria, you know. And so I was processing on that. So I posted something about it the other day, and I was talking about that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you are that and you bring that to the table, then that's fine. But if you're not that and you're requesting and kind of demanding perfection, you know, but you're not – I was going somewhere with that, you know, but if you're not what you're asking for, then you really don't have the right to be, you know, putting in demands like that, you know. And
very true.
And what about, you know, I'm like, what about this? You know, while you have your whole criteria of whatever, I'm like, you know, like relationships were never meant to be one-sided, you know. Love was not meant for just one person. It was meant for both people, you know, and in any type of relationship. So, of course, first guy who responds is, well, the same goals for women. And I said, thus, the two-way street. You know, I mean, like, there was nothing in that that was supposed to, you know, put you on the defensive. You know, when it clearly stated, you know, love is a two-way street. It's a two-way street.
Right.
And it was right in there, which you're not hearing what I'm saying because you're so busy immediately jumping on the defense. You know, well, first of all, if you're not that guy, what are you offended for? You know, I mean, you know, so, and it's interesting because I think if we could just, it almost feels sometimes like we need a mediator, you know, to be able to hear what the other person is actually saying, you know, and both people bring up valid points, you know, and we could get so much farther if we would just listen and stop being on the defensive all the time. So I think it's really interesting that you have chosen to put that out there. So, you know, so let's look at the other book where you're talking about, you know, the things that would cause a woman to lose respect for a man. And we know that, you know, men are big on respect. So, you know, for a woman to lose respect for him, you know, that's monumental, especially when that's one of their primary, you know, love needs. So what kind of responses are you getting from the guys for you know, regarding that book?
Well, with that book, and you know, it's funny because that book, you know, the women aren't as judgmental, of course. and of course, you know, it's funny because guys understand, like you know your buddy's a cheat, so you can understand why a woman would lose. And it's not that, you know, and it's funny because I couldn't write 10 reasons why black women start dating outside their race because we just, for the most part, are dating anybody outside the race is because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
His race usually isn't even a fact. We don't care that he's Mexican or white. We just know that he's done what the other man, whether he was black, white, or other, couldn't do or wouldn't do.
That's right.
For this particular book, it's for us. We lose respect for a black man.
But when you wrote the book for, it was kind of shedding light on how the men feel, the women were judgmental. When you wrote the book for shedding light on how the women feel, are the men being as judgmental? Are they getting it? Or are you getting that same kind of resistance?
The men are more understanding because they, I said, they understand my buddy is a cheat. Yeah, he's not taking care of his kids. Yeah, he's put his hands on her. He's been physically abusive to her. So they understand it's totally different from, you know, and they're looking at that. You know what? You're absolutely right. This does happen. However, there are some good men out there. You're absolutely right. There are some very good men out there. There are some men who do take care of their children. But these are just the reasons what would make us lose respect for you because we, you know, and the reason why I chose to use black and white, because some people were like, well, this doesn't happen in other races. It very may well do. It may happen. Now, I'm not another race. I'm black.
That's right.
I deal with a lot of black people. You know, I have a lot of race of friends, but for the majority, I can only tell you what I've seen in my black community. I'm not close enough to another race of people to tell you how they respond and how they react. I can't do that.
Right.
But the men have been I understand this is so true, Cotton. You're absolutely correct in what you're saying. So
you put the book out there, and you have opened up a dialogue. Now, is this opening doors for you to be able to speak on panels? And you know, and do you have aspirations to do that? You know, to kind of to bridge the gap between men and women, or you know, what ultimately is your goal, or was that the goal? You know,
that is so my goal. I'm in the process of now trying to figure out how to put together a great event where I can get men and women in the same room so that we can discuss these things. Because one thing I don't like to do is male bash. But what I do want to see is that we can communicate with one another. I'm listening and you're hearing me. Not just that I'm doing all the talking, because we don't want that, because that's not great communication. That's horrible communication if I'm doing all the talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to get these you know, have the women take a look at these books, have the men take a look at these books, and do this event where you can hear him and he can hear you. Don't be so quick to put him down or push him down because you don't like opinion or you don't like
right.
what he's doing with his life. It's his life.
Mm-hmm.
Just that is,
mm-hmm.
it is yours, you know.
Right.
And I think
mm-hmm.
because of how men were raised, you can't cry, you can't show emotion, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
We just expect them not to feel anything or not to have an opinion on feelings at all, which that's not
mm-hmm.
true.
That's right.
You know, they have...
And I do have some ideas.
Yeah, okay, here we go. That's what I'm talking
about.
Oh, no,
about. I will inbox you when the show is over. But you're talking and,
yes,
and stuff is coming
do.
To me, so I'm going to, yeah. I will do
yes,
that.
Do.
I will shoot those over
and
to
and
you.
And
yeah.
Because I've been through a lot of different things. I've been through abuse. I've been through
mm-hmm.
emotional abuse, physical abuse. I've watched my mother be physically abused, emotionally abused. You know, my
mm-hmm.
aunts and some of my aunts as well. I don't want to just talk about those things.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people
mm-hmm.
that talk about those things. There are also men out there that are being abused. There are also men out there
That's
that
true.
Are being cheated on and disrespected. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, I posted a video the other day where this woman, this mother, they're supposed to be co-parenting separately, you know, but she's got the two kids out behind his car. She's standing out behind his car, and she's frustrated at him about who cut their hair.
Okay.
This is like
just
a 30-minute video.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
This is like a 30-minute video almost, and he's videotaping, like, can I leave? She's saying, no, I need to know who cut their hair. Why does it matter? That is their
right.
That is their father.
Mhm. Mhm.
So,
and you know,
and
sometimes
I said
we get caught
say
up
that
in
women have that.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying. I only brought that up because women have bad behavior too. We
yeah.
just they're just not always called out on it. Men don't call them
mm-hmm.
out on it as much as we call men out on their bad behavior
mm-hmm.
because that's not good parenting.
We call it sometimes this whole, the perfectionism thing, you know, and it's like, okay, but don't complain if the person is, you know, don't complain if the person helps you and it doesn't come through quite the way you expected to. Did the person help? You know, I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due. And so if a person keeps reaching out and you keep popping their hands, eventually they're going to stop reaching out, you know. So,
right.
yes, that is absolutely a valid point. We need to do something on a larger scale, maybe another show or something with this, because I can
yes.
go on and on with this relationship stuff. But
yes.
I do want to talk about some of the other things that you're doing. So you write in the poetry and nonfiction relationship genres. Are there any other genres that you'd like to try your hand at?
There isn't. I'm actually I will be releasing a children's book.
Oh,
in the next
really? Okay.
year, which
uh-huh. okay.
It's Nellie's Adventures, and I've already started writing that. When my mom passed away in November, was very, very, very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really mourned her death at all, and
okay.
there's only been a few people that I can say that really got me through the rough time, and I'm still just, like, going through certain transitions of it, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't taken time for myself. But children books, of course, and this is a younger age, like 11 and under,
okay.
that I'm writing. But it's my mother, they call my mother Nellie. Don't know why, but her name was Sherry. Called her
mm-hmm.
Nellie her entire life. And so
mm-hmm.
I decided to call it Nellie's Adventure. So everybody, you
okay.
know, everybody in the family is kind of excited about that.
Oh.
And
so
and
does
putting
it seem at this point
there.
That it's going to be one book or will it be a series?
It will be a series because I want
okay.
to continue her legacy. My grandmother has told me these really great stories about my mom when she was younger and the funny
oh.
stuff that she would do.
Nice.
So I want to incorporate that along with some other kid stuff that I know
mm-hmm.
that takes
mm-hmm.
place within children, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So writing poetry is one thing and performing is quite another. So you did mention that you hadn't always been a performer. Why don't you tell us what it was like sharing your work on the stage before an audience the first time?
Well, actually, I would just for those who don't really know my backstory, I used to dance as a young girl.
Oh, okay.
So I was a cheerleader, I was a drill team. So I've always been a performer, just not in the poetry area.
Okay.
So some kind of way I've always imagined that I would be signing autographs. So I used to practice it as a kid.
Okay.
But to get up and perform poetry is definitely different because for me, I want you to feel what I felt when I wrote it. So I need you to feel that very emotion, rather it's sensual, rather it's love, rather it's frustration, whatever it was, I need you to feel that emotion as though I just wrote it right while I was standing in front of you.
Okay.
So that is the goal when I perform.
So what advice would you give to a poet who's sitting at home with volumes of work, but they're afraid to share that work? What would you say to that person?
The only way people are going to know your story is if you tell it. I don't advise anybody waiting. I admire Toni Braxton for telling her story now, because oftentimes, like Whitney Houston told Whitney Houston's story after she passed away. They told her the story after she passed away. So they didn't get to say what was and what wasn't, or what they want people to know and what they don't want people to know, you know.
But
in poetry, you're telling a story, whether it's your story or somebody else's story. You want to be able to tell it your way. Not let somebody else tell the story their way, because they're not going to get all the facts, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to always do right by you. So I would say just put it out there.
Okay.
Just put it out there. Okay. Don't be afraid. The only way to know is to just jump out there. Don't use a publisher. I would advise that. Self-publish.
Okay.
If it's your very first time, create a space, self-publish. Because it's cheaper, it's low cost, you don't have to fork out a bunch of money, and then you can kind of see what your following will be like for you.
Okay. All right. So you have a company, WBP. Why don't you tell us about your company?
That company consists of, I actually have a reality show that I am in the process of getting together to tape the first two pilots and everything. So I'm really, really, really excited about that.
Oh, good.
So that's the start of that, along with underneath that will be the sister company of, which will be a nonprofit organization to help children with writing. And it's called Just Write. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
Awesome. So you also host a couple of radio shows. Why don't you tell us about those shows and when they air?
Oh, gosh. Right now, Word Sexy is off the air, co-host with Word Sexy Radio. And then I co-host on Talk to Me Tuesdays, which is every other Tuesdays. Both of these shows air on Tuesday. Word Sexy is usually every Tuesday. Talk to Me Tuesday is every other Tuesday. And then I have my own radio show, which I do once a month, where I interview people, which is Conversations with Cotton. And then
Now, are these literary people, or are you open to a number of different types of guests coming on, or what?
I am open to different types of guests, because I don't want to leave it to I don't want to just be literary. I want to, you know, promote. And the last person that I interviewed was Jerese Owens. I think I said his name right. Yeah. And he's an author as well. He's got a gazillion books out there. So, so I'm just looking to do different things.
If a listener wanted to be a guest on one of your shows, how would they go about securing an interview with you?
You would just inbox me, you know. You can definitely inbox me on Facebook. That's always the best way. I usually try to reach out to people to, because I want to promote them and get them, you know, get other people to pay attention. I'm great for wanting to support others. That's one of the things that I love to do, is support other, what other people have going on.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So we know that you just had the four books that you, excuse me, the four, well, I don't want to just call them books because one was a CD, but so three books and a CD that just came out in January. I was going to ask about new releases, but maybe do you have anything else coming up, or are you going to just spend a big chunk of time pushing those projects?
I'm going to spend quite a bunch of time pushing those projects because they're, like we just discussed, there are three different projects, and I'm just, the promoting part of it, I want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, because they, if you have not gotten any one of these books, you really want to do that. These are really great reads, and these are probably these three books and this CD is some of the ones I'm most proud of right now, because a lot of emotion went behind these particular books for me.
Okay. So are there any book signings or events that you have that you'll be attending where readers can come out and meet you anytime soon?
I have an event next Saturday that I will be performing in God's Greatest Gift. It's an event with all female, including lovely lyricists, Miss Gifted, and a host of other ladies that will be performing in Chicago next Saturday at 7 p.m. So the tickets are $20. You can inbox me for those tickets as well.
All right. Okay. And where is the event going to be held?
That's in Chicago. And I can, if you inbox me, I can send you the information. As well as then after that, I have a March 26th event that I'll be, I'm not performing, but I will be at that event assisting. It's a ladies' night event where there's the talent is all male talent, so it's going to be awesome. GTA is one of those people that will be performing in that particular show as well. And then I'll be in Kansas for a short time, and then, you know, I'm just playing it by ear. I got some other offers to do some other things, so I'm just trying to work out the schedule.
Okay, sounds good. So why don't you tell our listeners where your books may be purchased and how they can follow you on social media?
You can go to wbpproductions.net to purchase any of my work, as well as amazon.com. The only thing you won't be able to purchase on Amazon is the CD. The CD is only available on the website. You can come to any event. You can inbox me. If you're local, I don't have a problem bringing you books, depending on where I am. Right now I'm in Stockton because I just did a show here in the Sacramento area last weekend. So from here I'll be back in Vegas and then to Chicago. But you can get me on Facebook under Cotton Campbell. You can find me on Instagram under Soft Spoken Poet, as well as Reverb Nation, Cotton, the softest voice in poetry. So if you type in Kottyn, I'll come up and on everything.
Okay. And in parting, what advice would you give to a new author who's coming into the business?
I would definitely advise that you continue to, don't expect anybody else to promote you. You would have to definitely promote yourself. No matter how much money you pay out, you still have to market and promote yourself. So I would definitely advise that you stay, if you're going to write with your ear to God, and don't listen to a lot of any of the negativity. Make sure you feed yourself with as much positive food as you possibly can to get through these days, because it's not always easy. You may go months without selling a book, and then you may sell 200 the month after. So stay strong.
Okay. Well, Cotton, thank you so much for joining us today and for keeping us abreast of your your projects, and we certainly wish you much success on your journey. Feel free to hang out with us. The next guest coming on might be someone that would be a good connection for you. You know, just you guys are doing some similar kinds of things. There might be, you know, a way for you to connect and do some things. So, but thank you again for joining us.
Yes. Thank you so
and I will
much
send you that information. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. And before I bring the next guest on, we'll hear a word from our sponsor.
Scores of authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids' zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, welcome to In the Spotlight. I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane, and we've just interviewed author and media personality Cotton, the soft-spoken poet. I'd like to bring on our next guest, author and media personality, Tavona Elliott Clark. Tavona, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, very well. I'm glad to have you today.
I'm glad to be a part of this.
So you are a lady who wears many hats. Let's talk about your novel, Living the Fast Life. Let's talk about that first.
Yes, that is actually my first novel that I've ever done.
Okay.
And it was the novel that kind of almost broke me, but made me even stronger.
Okay.
And you know, Living the Fast Life is actually based on a true story. For those who don't
okay
know, it's actually based on my life story. And
mm-hmm
it's about a young girl going through the trials and the tribulations of life, you know,
mm-hmm
from selling drugs to selling her soul, to,
mm-hmm
you know, just, I mean, coming from an abusive family, an abusive home to,
mm-hmm
I mean, just gang banging and just, you know, and she was really, in reality, what she was doing was trying to find love somewhere.
Yes.
Because she didn't know what love really was. So she was trying to
okay
find love and trying to find herself at the same time.
Okay. Okay. But it's fiction, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So why don't you tell us, what kind of pitfalls did you experience publishing that work? Because you said that it was, you know, it was kind of a challenge for you. So let's talk about that.
Yes, it was. Actually, the challenges that I have from this book actually is the reason why I do what I do right now.
Okay.
I went into it blindly as
mm-hmm
a new author. You know, I reached out to a lot of authors to see if I can get some help. And, of course, no authors reached back. But then I
yeah
had, once I published it on my own and just try to do it, then authors start reaching out to me. And so they
okay
kind of critique me and the things like that. And I was like, yeah, I kind of seen that. And it was bad because I was ripped because basically I spent $2,500 to get
okay
this book out. And it wasn't edited. I was
mm,
only
okay
able to choose from six book covers.
Okay.
Like, nothing was me
mm-hmm
except for the pages in between it. And that was it.
Gotcha.
And it was raw
okay
and very uncut because it wasn't
okay
edited.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take that and I had to learn. And the authors that did reach out to me was very brutal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Very brutal. And I really wanted to quit and give up because they were so harsh. And
mm-hmm
I was just like, maybe this isn't for me. You know,
okay,
maybe I'm
mm-hmm
in, I'm going into the wrong thing. But I realized that that was my therapeutic moment. That's where I find
okay
my peace. It's in writing.
Okay.
So I couldn't stop doing
mm-hmm
what I love to do because I had a bad experience.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So I basically
but you bring up some really
watched
interesting points there. You know, you were talking
mm-hmm
about, you know, not having your work edited, you know, and we know that indie authors catch a lot of flack about that, you know.
Mm.
So let's talk about that for just a second. You know, when you, for the person who's out there who's considering putting a work up there and hasn't had it edited, or, you know, why don't you tell them what they should look for, you know, in finding a good editor? Because, of course, editing is not it's not cheap. You know, so what should a person look for?
No, editing is not cheap. First of all, the first thing I would say for people to do is do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Find
mm-hmm.
reliable people. Talk to people. Find out who edit their books, what they're doing. And these are
mm-hmm.
the books that you know that's been edited, that you've read, that you can see.
Yeah.
You know, find
mm-hmm.
out. Just do your research on these people and then try to see the bond that you can build with this person, because at the end of the day, each client that I work with, we're family. Once we start working together, we now become personal. It's personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship
mm-hmm.
between us, a bond between
yes.
us. And if you guys can't be on that same bond and on that same page, then that's not the person for you to work with, you know?
And let me
and then
say
also,
this. You know, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And then also make sure you stay in your budget.
Okay. Yeah, those are very valid points too. Now, I don't usually talk a whole lot about it. I do editing and different things like that. Offer a number of author services, but let me say this: as an editor, you know, for someone who's out there who's trying to decide what they want to do and they're looking for one, and you know, like we understand, like an editor knows that that's your baby, and an editor's job is
yeah.
not to rewrite your work, but it is to bring
right.
out the best in that work. You know,
right.
and so they're not going to tell you that it's good. It is not. I mean, now they shouldn't be brutal. You know, I mean, they should be able to give you constructive criticism and tell you, okay, well, you need to, you know, there's holes here, and you need to work on that, and this is unrealistic, and that sort of thing. But they're not going to just tell you what you want. You're not paying them to tell you what you want to hear. You're paying them to help your product be the best that it can be. So
right.
just know that going in. So, yes, that's very
that's
interesting. So let's say this, with you, Tivana, you know, what is one thing that you wish you had known before entering this industry that would have made your journey a little easier?
I wish I would have known that it's a lot of dedication, and I wish
okay.
that I would have known that it's a lot of little details. It's a lot of
mm-hmm.
tedious work that goes into this. It's not just jump in it, write a book, publish it, and you gonna make
mm-hmm.
money. No,
mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm.
not. You're definitely not gonna be rich. And I try to tell every author, please, if you come to
yeah.
me, I have to let you know that no
yeah.
matter how good this book, this baby's gonna be when we finish, that does
mm-hmm.
not mean that you're gonna be rich, because
mm-hmm.
you're not. You
mm-hmm.
gotta push it. You gotta get it out there. You have to market yourself. And
that's right.
I didn't know that. You know, when I first entered into this business, and then somebody had to tell me it was going to be as much stuff involved in it, I probably would have rethought it.
Okay.
But
you know what?
I
love that. I love your resiliency, you know? I love the fact that you took the pitfalls that you had and you decided that you were going to make the journey easier for someone coming behind you, you know, that you would be able to learn from it and to be able to empower others, to teach others, you know. So I love your resiliency, you know, and your stick-to-itiveness, you know, all of that. What genre would you say, oh, yes, what genre would you say that you write in? Is that urban fiction?
Yes, it's urban fiction. Actually, I'm the type of writer that whatever comes to my heart comes out on paper. So
okay.
I really want to write in all genres, you know, because
okay.
I actually help other authors that write in all genres, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, I have an author right now that I'm working with that's about to release a children's book. I have, you know,
oh.
authors that's doing urban. I have an author that's doing a sci-fi, which is, oh, my gosh, that has to be the hardest project
okay.
for me ever. But
okay.
I'm loving the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm loving
okay.
the challenge, but, yeah. I want to write in all genres. And, of course,
okay.
everybody knows that I love to write in erotica, too. So I will be
okay.
writing in, you know, I will have erotica coming out one day.
Now, how many books have you written?
Well, I've written four, but I've only released one twice.
Okay.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I released one 3 times, okay, y'all?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I released that book 3 times because I was going through that journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when mm-hmm. I finally connected to the right people to find out what it really was, they took me basically under their wings and said, this is what you need to do. So in order for people to really love this book, because it's a good book, but in order for
mm-hmm.
people to really get what you want them to get out of it, this is what you need to do. And so I pulled it, rewrote it again, and 3 times,
mm-hmm.
they say 3 times a charm. So, and the third time, they loved it. And it's been doing good ever since. And now I'm getting ready to drop the second one. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm probably
going to
drop two, so.
Okay. All right. So you have a company, Fast Life Management. Why don't you tell us about your company?
Yes, Fast Life Management is all about empowering, enriching, and encouraging others to do great things. That's our motto. And it's about support, you know, supporting one another, no matter what your business is, just to know that it's room for all of us at the top. And so we offer so many services that we offer. We actually offer you where if you need extra promotion, we have promotional packages that we offer. We have
mm-hmm.
literary service that we offer, you know, where we do editing and ghostwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
have a second
mm-hmm.
step program for those who already have their books already done but need some help, you know. And
mm-hmm.
we make it, we strive to help the little people because our team, a lot of us on our team is on disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so we understand what it means to not have nothing but want to do so much and know that you got this amount of money, but you have to, you know, take care of your bills and you want to live
mm-hmm.
your dreams, but you can't
mm-hmm.
because you don't
mm-hmm.
have the means or the money to be able to do that. So we provide affordable prices at, you know, for the little people. And we also give payment plans because we understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we offer payment plans to our clients so they can still be able to live their dreams. And we don't go, we go on your budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome.
Okay, well, this is how much it's going to cost, and this is how we're going to break it down, and this is what you're going to pay us a month. No, we go on your budget. And whatever your budget is and whatever our total is, then we separate it and say, okay, this is how long you will have, you know, and this is when you'll be able to get your project back.
Gotcha. Okay. That sounds awesome.
So
who was your ideal client? Who would you say is your ideal client?
I have to say the best client that I've worked with so far has to be Kai Storm.
Okay.
I want to work with I want to work with everybody. Anybody that needs help, I'm willing to do it. But my best client so far, I have to say, has been Kai Storm with her new novel that she just put out, which is self-published, called That One Voice. And it's amazing. And just to see the project come to life was amazing. And to see how people are really reacting and really taking to that is amazing in itself.
Okay.
Just to know that, dang, I had something to do with that. That's a good feeling, even, you know, because it's like, that's my baby, too. You know, every project
that's
I work on, that's my baby, too, you know. So, and to see the smile on your face when you get your book in your hand and know that I did this.
So, would you say that your, you know, is your ideal client the novice person who knows nothing about the industry, or, you know, is it someone who has a little experience and who maybe has been burned? You know, who is a good fit for Fast Life Management to come on as a client? Who's a good fit?
I would say either one of them, really. The client that has been burnt and needs somebody to really pay attention to them and really give them what they need. And then also the client that has no idea about this business, but they're so passionate and they're ready to get their book out, but they need help. Those are the people that we want to work with.
Okay.
You know, if you know about this business and you want to get your stuff out, come on, we'll help you too. Okay. You know, but we mm-hmm. really focus and spend a lot of time with those who don't know this business as much, because okay. we do more than just do your book for you, get it out there for you, show you how to do it. We actually show you step by step by step mm-hmm. by step how to be a self-published author. And even okay. if you don't know, and even if you don't take those tools, you know that, guess what? I know I can come back to them because they're going to make my book right.
Gotcha. Okay. That sounds awesome. So you are also the founder of Queens International. Why don't you tell us about that organization?
Yes, Queens International is an organization for teenage girls. We focus on trying to stop a lot of this teenage pregnancy. So we mm-hmm. want to get them involved in learning how to create, start their own businesses. Teach
okay.
them, you know, how to be successful women, how to dress to par, where you don't have to, you can be cute and sexy without being
mm-hmm.
slutty.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
We
mm-hmm.
we want to show them that it's another way to life. It's
mm-hmm.
another way
okay.
to get attention than just with your body. You can get attention
gotcha.
With your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If others wanted to help you with your efforts with Queens International, how would they go about doing it, and in what capacity could they help?
Oh, we accept donations. They can,
mm-hmm.
we do volunteers, whatever, we accept clothing
mm-hmm.
because we have kids that, you know, come from low-income families who's not as fortunate as some to be able to afford clothes and necessity
yeah.
and hygiene products. So we accept all of those. And you can always reach me at Tavana Elliott Clark on Facebook or
okay.
Queens International on Facebook as well.
Okay.
Queens International on Twitter or Sad
mm-hmm.
Life Management, any of them, you can find me. And you can
okay.
type in my name. You can Google me and find me, Tavana Elliott Clark or Tavana Elliott, and it's going to come
mm-hmm.
up.
Okay. And then you run a company called New Flame. That's a car club that you run with your husband. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, that is for me and my baby. He's really into cars. And
okay.
You know, and he's also the type of person that wanted to give back, but he was like,
mm-hmm.
he wanted to do something. And because I'm the business person and he's the go-getter, we just
mm-hmm.
gel. And so he
mm-hmm.
was like, what can we do? And I was like, we can start a car club. He was like, well, how we do that? And I started telling him, he was like, well, how do you know this? I was like, well, I already started a car club back in 1994 called JCC
mm-hmm.
in Wichita, Kansas. And
mm-hmm.
I love my family, you know what I'm saying? So, you
mm-hmm.
know, they understand that even though we still family, that I'm moving on to build my own family now, you know. So,
that's right.
And we give back to the community as far as, you know, hygiene products. We do stuff around Christmas and around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
We feed the homeless once a month where we
oh,
go
awesome.
Out. And, I mean, yeah, we feed over 500 people a month.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. This is the
you know,
car club? Let's join this.
Yes, this is the car club.
Mm-hmm.
And we come
okay.
out of our own pockets with this. We don't, you know,
oh, really?
And we don't ask for, mm-hmm, we don't, you know, when people donate to us, we appreciate it. But a lot of it, we come out of our own pocket to feed these people because we
mm-hmm.
feel like there's too many starving people out here. And if we can help and if we can make a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
let's do that.
Yes,
you
that
know,
is so,
so
beautiful.
In the winter, in the winter we try to, you know, donate coats and gloves
mm-hmm.
and hats and
mm-hmm.
scarves and shoes. We try to make it easy for those who are less fortunate because that's what
yeah.
it's all about.
That's right. It is. You are the host of Fast Life on the Move radio show. Why don't you tell us about your show and if there are other shows on your network, because I realize it's not just a show, but it's a network also. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, it is Fast Life on the Move Network, and yes, we are on 7 days a week, and
okay.
we cater to everybody, you know,
mm-hmm.
on our show.
Okay.
It's called Fast Life on the Move because their CEO, they already know, I stay on the move. I
mm-hmm.
like right now, I'm on the highway right now. I'm on my way to Dallas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm always
oh,
on the
huh.
move. I, you
okay.
know, I'm always going somewhere. So that's, and then, of course, you know, it's fast life management, fast life, everything. You know, my first book was Living the Fast Life, so, you know, what better way?
Okay.
So, yeah,
so
we
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just asking about specifics about the show, you know, so if an author or entrepreneur wanted to be a guest on your show, how would they go about doing that? Because it sounds like you're open to more than just authors on that show. Is that correct?
Yes. On every Thursday, we actually have different people coming on to our show, and which I actually interview you personally. And it's for all businesses. We don't discriminate whatever type of business you have. I mean, we've had hairdressers. We've had artists.
Oh,
we've had
wow.
painters. We've had photographers. We've had caterers and chefs and authors and poets. And we just whatever. You know, whatever you do, if you need some extra promotion, you can come on Fast Life on the Move. Every Thursday, you can get on our schedule. You can hit me up at Tavonna Elliott Clark or at Fast Life on the Move. Inbox me, and I will definitely – I actually – my schedule was booked for the year, but I just opened up some new spots because I have so many people that's coming that's like, hey, I want to get on your schedule. I've heard so much about your show. I want to be on your schedule. So I was like, you know what? I don't – want nobody to be left out. So let me open up all these dates. And I went on and opened up all these dates. So we have more dates that we just opened up for people that still want to get on the show. So please come on. Because, and that's every single Thursday that we do that. Like I said, we are on every single day of the week. And we cater to everybody on our show. Everybody.
Okay.
You get a little bit of everything.
Okay. And you are doing so much right now. In addition to trying to maintain your health after being diagnosed with lupus, how do you juggle it all?
By the grace of God, baby. By the grace of God. I just, I was diagnosed in 2010, even though my dad, you know, it's rapid on my dad's side of the family. You know, I have Amy's and my grandmother had lupus as well.
Okay.
And he told me 3 years prior, but because I'm a hard-headed person, I'm a Leo, that's what I do, I'm hard-headed sometimes. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, And like he kept saying, you need to go get checked. And for 3 years, I kept saying, okay. Well, those 3 years, I continued to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And it had got to a point where I couldn't work. And I got so depressed because I am a go-getter. I'm about taking care of me, you know, and to not be able to do that, I was just like, oh, my gosh. And that's when I came out with my book, and it was just so happened that I happened to be at my dad's because I was, you know, I packed up all my stuff in my car, y'all. I'm talking about got rid of the apartment, everything. I had nothing but the stuff in my car and my book. I jumped in my car, and I went from state to state to state to state selling Living the Fast Life. As is.
Wow.
Talking about raw and uncut, no editing, no nothing. And sold. I sold over 1,000 books doing it like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
know, even though it wasn't edited. And people still loved it. But, you know, I was at my dad's, and I passed out in the bathroom.
Okay.
I blacked out. And he took me to the emergency and was like, check her for lupus right now, check her. And they did, and sure enough, that's what it came back with. And he was like, now do you believe me? I was like, I know. He was like, stop saying you know and do something about it. So now I'm more cautious of what I do and how I do it. But I thank God for the blessings because it made me appreciate my life more because I didn't appreciate life. That's why I was doing what I was doing. That's why I was running the streets like I was running and feeling like I was invisible. And God had to sit me down and say, lady, ma'am, get your life together.
Yeah.
And I did. And I had to.
Now,
and that was a wake-up call for me.
When in those very low, especially now that you have all of this stuff going on and going for yourself, you know, when you hit those physical lows, you know, that this, you know, illness brings about, you know, how do you find the strength to keep going during those low times?
pray. I stay prayed up. I pray a lot. And I just ask God to give me the strength. And the good thing is the fact that my business is virtual. So those days that I'm not able to physically get out of my bed, baby, as long as I can set my computer up in my lap and I can work my fingers, I'm okay. And I'll work my fingers until they literally get tired to the point where they hurt so bad that they start to cramp up because I love what I do.
Well, as if your plate isn't already full, you know, what else are you working on?
Right now I am getting ready to drop The Unmeritable. And it's actually...
Is that your next book?
Yes, that's actually the one that's getting ready to drop right now here within the next couple of weeks. It's called The Unmeritable, and it's about... it's actually a series of, you know, for living the fast life. It's called the Fast Life Chronicle series. So it's, yes, it's a sequel to Living the Fast Life. And it's just about how Kenya went from being this crazy girl to now being a sophisticated woman. And she then she found love because she always felt like she was the unmeritable because she she's been engaged to every boyfriend she's ever had in her life. But she's never been the wife. She's never got the opportunity to walk down the aisle. She never got there. So now she's actually at a stage in her life. Her career is taking off. She's doing good. Everything is looking good. And she finally meets this brother that she thinks is her everything. But look ain't always what they appear to be. So that's how I'm going to leave that one. So you guys definitely have to get that one because it's really good. And, of course,
and
I'm working on
out?
A new novel. It's called The Unmeritable, and it's coming out in March.
Yes, now, do you have any events coming up where our listeners can come out and meet and greet with you?
Right now, I'm... Oh, my gosh, I'm so busy trying to get everybody else together that sometimes I forget about me. But I have a couple things that is coming up where I have the Fast Life Chronicles celebration coming up where artists can come out and actually promote their businesses and their products and sell their products and stuff like that. If you want to come out for that, please get with me and I can shoot you the details and give you the contracts and stuff on that so you can, you know, come out and promote your business because at the end of the day, like I like to tell people is people travel. So you never know who's going to come or who's going to hear you or who's going to see you and get your product or
That's
who's going to come to your city and say, hey, you know what? I seen you there. I heard about you here and I heard your interview on this station or on this radio show or, you know, or in this blog or whatever. And people's going to support you. So
now, what city are you housed in or based out of?
I am based out of, actually, y'all going to laugh at this, but I'm actually based out of three different places. I'm actually based out of the DFW area. That's my that's my dominant location. That's my headquarters. I'm also based out of Mississippi, and I'm also based out of Louisiana as well. So I'm always backwards and forth between the three places. So that's why I'm in the DFW area now, because I have to come check on things and, you know, make sure business is still running smoothly and we're still doing what we have to do to make sure that people is getting their stuff out there.
Okay. So why don't you tell our listeners where your works may be found and how they can connect with you on social media? I know you've mentioned it before, but go ahead and tell them again.
That's okay. You can find all my work is always going to be on createspace.com. You can find me at www.fastlifemanagement.wix.com/fastlifemanagement. You'll actually see a lot of the books that we've already that we've done on our website, plus my own personal books. You'll also see some of the artists that we also manage as well, because we do manage people on the music side and on the book side. So if you need a manager, you know, we do that as well. We also write grants. So you're going to see a lot of stuff out there, you know, that we do and the services that we offer. because it's important.
Awesome.
And you can find me there on fastlifemanagement.wix.com/fastlifemanagement, on Amazon.com, CreateSpace. You can find me at Fast Life on the Move on Facebook.
Okay.
Also on Twitter, you can find me at Fast Life Management on Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at Tavonna Elliott Clark on Facebook. So, man, I'm not hiding. Just find me.
Okay. So, in parting, Tavonna, what advice would you give to the person whose life is so full of doing what they have to do that they don't see where there's time, space, or opportunity for them to do what they want to do? What would you say to that person?
I would say you have to make time for you, because life is short and we only have one life. You have to live it like it's your last. You live each day like it's your last day, because you never know when it's your day or when it's your time. And my thing is, why procrastinate and wait for tomorrow what you can do today?
All right.
Don't do it. Get out there. Even if you take, you know, even if you take 10 minutes a day to do what you love to do, do it.
Because
you will find yourself, today it'll be 10 minutes, tomorrow it might be 20 minutes, the next day it might be an hour. Try it.
That's excellent advice. We have reached the end of our time here. Tavonna, it has certainly been a pleasure talking with you today, and we wish you continued success on your literary journey. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Again, listeners, we have had authors and media personalities, Cotton, the soft-spoken poet, and Tavonna Elliott Clark with us today. If you missed any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs. Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word to others. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join me next week for Say What Author Spotlights with special guest author Marlon Mikulski, and we'll be discussing his novel, Malicious, at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until we meet again, make each day a great day, on purpose. And don't forget to read a good book. Bye.